Now let's continue on with judge righteous judgment. We've seen that God is judge. We've seen how that he carries out his word to anyone, that if he gives a judgment and a sentence, that if they repent, God will not carry out the judgment. Now what happens when there is no repentance? Well, let's come here to Genesis 18 and let's see. Now Abraham came to God and God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do?" Verse 17, Genesis 18. 18:17. Now notice, here's what he says concerning Abraham. "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation." Interesting. "And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him." See, God knows us. Does he not? Of course. Spirit of God is dwelling in us. "That he will command his children and his house after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord," there it is, the way of the Lord, "to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him." See, so it doesn't depend on him alone. It also depends on the descendants of Abraham, physically and spiritually. Verse 20, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know." So God comes down and checks things out first. Make sure that if he executes judgment, that it will be righteous judgment, that it will be fair judgment, that it will be proper. Said, "I will know." Verse 22. "And the men turned their faces," now that's two angels with God, "away from them and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Now this is quite a conversation, isn't it? Here's Abraham, righteous, loving, obedient, fearing God, trusting God. So he comes to God and says, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Perhaps there are 50 righteous people within the city." That makes you wonder, in some cities, is there any righteous at all? "Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous who are in it?" Then he continued in his discussion with him, 45, 40, and he said, maybe 30. Then verse 31, Abraham's getting a little afraid here, and he said, "Lo now, I've taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Perhaps if there be 20 found there, just 20, Lord." And the Lord answered, and he said, "I will not destroy it for the 20's sake." Then Abraham again, because he knew what Sodom was like, and he knew that his nephew, Lot, was living there. And he didn't want Lot destroyed. So he came to God very boldly, and he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry, and I will speak only once more. Perhaps only 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went on his way as soon as he had left talking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Then you know the story. Two angels went down there. His sons wouldn't believe it. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah were so evil that they wouldn't take Lot's daughters. They wanted to take the angels. And this is also quite a prophecy about how militant homosexuality and their judgments are. They will have their way and their way alone, and nothing else counts. And we see the effect of it today. Now you know what happened. It was all the angels could do to get Lot, his wife, and two children out of there. His sons-in-laws didn't even believe him. And they escaped. And they were told, don't look back. And here comes all the fire and brimstone down. And Lot's wife couldn't resist. So she looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. Now you see, let's ask a question. How important is it that we obey the voice of God? Now an angel sent to do the work of God, and the angel says something, is as good as the voice of God. Remember what happened to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, when he questioned the angel Gabriel. Gabriel told him, because you didn't believe me, you're going to not speak until after the child is born. His tongue was locked up and he couldn't speak. So yes, God's judgments are true and righteous. Now let's also see something very important. Judgments or decisions or discernment is part of choosing. And God made us because we're made a little lower than God to think, to understand, to talk, to all of these things, all the attributes of humans, love and anger and goodness and all of those things of human beings God has made and created. But he wants us to make the right choices. Now, God has given every human being free moral agency, and God will never take that away. We must choose. And when you stop and think about it, every day we make many choices, don't we? When we decide to do something, that is a choice. When we go someplace and we want to go there, that's a choice. To pray is a choice, to study is a choice, to live by the word of God is a choice, to be evil, to choose the lifestyle like they did in Sodom, that's a choice. Now let's see what God has set before every human being. It also began with Adam and Eve. Let's come here to Deuteronomy 30, because this is so important. See, remember, everything you act upon is a choice. Now, if you do not make a choice, that lack of a choice is your choice. Think on that. Well, I don't know. Or, well, I can't tell. Or, I won't do it. Or, I can't decide. All of those are expressions of choice. Now let's see what God has set before us. We have it here in verse 15, Deuteronomy 30. Yes, and many times we go here because this is important to understand, and not only to understand, but to see it working in our lives. And free choice is so important that God bases it on the heavens and the earth, though we apply it individually to each one of our lives. Now think about that. Now, Moses is talking to the whole nation of Israel. That's in the group. But the group is formed of individuals. Now likewise with us. We're in a group, and there are individuals. And the word of God is to all, and all includes each and every one. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 30. Behold, that means pay attention and listen. I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. And that's what God sets before every human being. Now, children are born into the world. Parents need to teach them. Teach them right from wrong, to obey, to make good decisions, to make good choices, not to do dumb and stupid and foolish things that children do. However, sometimes that continues right into adulthood as well, yes? Well, I'm sure none of you have made any of those wrong decisions, of course. Okay. I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Now here's a commandment of the Lord. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, a choice, a decision. To walk in his ways, a choice, a decision. To keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments so that you may multiply, you may live and multiply. That's what God wants to do. So that we will be fruitful, productive. And you know, human beings are really not satisfied nor happy until they are productive and doing what is right, the right way. That's how God created us. How do you feel when things go wrong? How do you feel when you make the wrong choices? How do you feel when you make the wrong decisions? How do you feel when things go really badly? Well, terrible. Okay? That's why he commands us to do so. Then he gives a warning. But if, there's that word again, if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, go your way and leave God. All right? A choice. Right? I denounce to you this day, so here's the warning, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, when people go against the laws and commandments of God, they go their way, make the wrong choices and decisions, and their lives are cut short and they die. Whether they know God or not, this works in their lives. Because this is not just for Israel, not just for the church, but for all people. That's why all people need the Word of God, so they can understand, what do I need to do? How do I need to live? What choices do I need to make? And remember, every choice is a judgment, because you've thought about it and you decided to do it. Now, some people get carried away and do things in anger. They've not made the choice to contain their anger. So they go on a rage and a rampage, and it generally ends up with destruction, maybe even physical things destroyed, lives ruined because of all the anger and hatred. Yes, indeed. So every choice is a decision. Every choice is a judgment, whether for good or whether for bad. All right? Now notice, this is so important that verse 19, God tells us this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, so that both you and your seed may live. Now that's exactly what God wants. He wants us to live. And for those of us in the church, he wants us to live forever. Then he also tells us how we should live our lives. And this is the first and foremost thing. Remember, two things that Jesus said. Man, that means any man or woman, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he said this, the second thing. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being. So to do what God wants and make the choices, these are the choices that are set before us. So let's read it here, verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice. And we have everything that God has spoken that he wanted to pass on to the whole world recorded in the Bible, and may cleave to him, for he is your life, because God is life giver, and the length of your days, or eternal life, so that you may dwell in the land, or in the kingdom of God, which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give it to them. And didn't we read just yesterday that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be sitting on thrones? Yes, indeed. Where? In the kingdom of God. So you see how the word of God really just connects together. The unity of the word of God is absolutely a magnificent thing. All right, now let's continue on here. Let's come to Luke 13. Luke 13, we're going to see some very interesting things along this line as well. Luke 13. And remember the first part of Luke 13, he says, concerning the Tower of Siloam, that fell on the 18 and killed him. He asked the people, do you think that they were sinners above all in Jerusalem that they died? He says, I tell you no. And unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Now let's see how Jesus explains the choices we need to make. And of course, everything about salvation is based upon our choices. And every choice we make is a judgment. Now let's come to Luke 13. Let's pick it up here in verse 22. And we're going to see this principle applied. Now he was going through the cities and villages teaching while making progress toward Jerusalem. And one said to him, Lord, are those who are being saved few? Then he said to them, to the whole crowd, now think about this. Think about the effort that we need to choose to put forth. Because remember, all of our choices are based upon what God says, and backed up by the heaven and the earth. So we need to understand that those are pretty powerful things to make God's word very effective in our lives. And remember, all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, God said, if you will diligently keep my commandments, if you will diligently hearken to me, that is, listen to obey. Let's see what he says here in verse 24. Here's the choice. Here's what Jesus says is the important thing. Verse 24, strive with your whole being to enter into the narrow gate. Yes, many are called, but few are chosen. Now we know according to the last great day, God is going to take care of the vast majority of people. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able, because they make the wrong choices. Once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, going to close the gate for salvation, and you begin to stand outside the door and knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Then he shall answer and say to you, I do not know you or where you are from. Why? Because you didn't listen to God. You didn't strive to enter in. You didn't pray to him. You didn't study his word. Who are you? And he shall say, I tell you, I do not know you. No, verse 26, the verse above, when he says, where are you from? And you shall begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you have taught us in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I do not know you or where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness. Now, a lot of people think, well, just take the world, for example, all the holidays of the world. Well, it doesn't make any difference. It's a lot of fun, and it's for the kids, never thinking it's Satan's plan to teach kids to lie. But nevertheless, They think they're doing right. Now, they may have heard, well, it's pagan in one ear and out the other. They may have heard that the Sabbath is a day to keep in one ear and out the other. Here are these people who saw Jesus, what he was here in the flesh, didn't pay any attention to it. Verse 28, then at the judgment, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out. All based upon what? A choice. They chose not to strive with all their being. They chose their way instead of God's way. Now let's continue on. Verse 30, and behold, there are the last who shall be first, and the first who shall be last. Quite a thing. Now let's look and see concerning something very important here. Let's look at the patriarch Job. Quite an interesting thing. Now, we've got a series on the book of Job. You might write for it because many people don't understand the book of Job. Let's go to the book of Job. That's in the writings, okay? And the book of Job comes right after the book of Proverbs. Now, a lot of people read the first part of it here, so let's read the first part. Like they said back then, like we just read in Luke 13. Will there be few who are saved? Okay. Well, let's read about Job. Job, the first chapter. All right. And Job, let's see what he was doing. He was watching out for his children, praying for his children, and he was a mighty righteous man. Yes, indeed, but very few people understand about the righteousness of Job. And you look at it, and you see that everything that he did was commanded by God, which is an important clue. And we will see what his problem was. How could God bring this upon him and all that he went through if he did what God commanded? Well, because he made the wrong choice as to who should get credit for what he did. Now, we'll answer that when we get through with this. All right. So here he was upright and blameless, verse 1. One who feared God and turned aside from evil, verse 1. Whoa! Why should he go through all that trial then? And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had lots of possessions, verse 3. Verse 4. His sons went and feasted in their house, each one on his day. And they sent and called for the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting were concluded, Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job continuously did. So he was very righteous. Well now, even Satan didn't understand what Job's problem was. So he thought that in his bargaining with God that he could cause Job to fail. Well, Satan came and appeared before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil? So Satan answered and said to the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his house and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed every work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said, Satan, you go ahead and do it. He's in your power. He went out and did it. Look at all the calamities that came. Lost his sons, daughters, lost everything that he had. So then he put on sackcloth and ashes, said, naked I came into the world, naked I will go out. Okay? But he didn't charge God foolishly or curse, didn't sin. So then it came again, another day. God asked Satan, where'd he come from? He gave the same answer. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil? And still he is holding fast to his integrity. Notice, his integrity. Although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But indeed, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So God said, behold, he's in your hand. So then he was only spare his life. So he was struck with boils from head to toe, the worst kind. And he was in misery, and he was in pain, and he was in agony, and he was in terrible, terrible pain. And here his three friends came and were arguing back and forth, well, you must be a sinner, you must have done this, and you can read the whole account of it. In one place, Job said, this is so miserable, and you fellows are just so rotten toward me. I wished that there were an umpire between me and God so he could put his hand on both of our shoulders and settle this matter. I have not sinned. I've done none of the things that you have said. Ooh, boy, that's something. All right. Now let's come back here to chapter 32. Okay. So Elihu didn't want to speak because he said, I've listened to all these three men speak to you and they haven't answered you. Okay. Now then, he spoke to him, chapter 32, 33. Let's come to chapter 35. After going through all of this, now think about this. I want you to see what Job's attitude was. And his sin became this. Though he was doing everything right, he did not give God the credit. He did not say, I do these because this is from God. And he gets all the credit and honor and glory. No, he said, I am so good, I did it myself. So Elihu says, chapter 35 and verse 2, to Job, right to his face, do you think that this be right? That you say, my righteousness is more than God's? Whoa, pretty strong words, aren't those? Yes, indeed. Job did not learn the lesson that through all of our lifetime that we live and move and have our being from God, and that we have nothing that we didn't receive. Now, one of the things that Job said after these three men couldn't answer him, he said, oh, ooh, I wish God would speak to me. I would let him know what I really done. Well, Job got his answer. Chapter 38, let's turn there. Job 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. Now notice where God starts. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if you have understanding. Yes, Job, you're so smart, you're so good, you're so righteous. Then you can read all of chapter 38 and 39. Come over here to chapter 40. Let's see how God continues with him. This is quite a thing. See, notice how similar this is to Jesus correcting the scribes and Pharisees. They thought that they deserved to have the Messiah align with them because they had their traditions, they had their laws, they were the ones at the temple, they were the ones who were teaching the people. Yes, and we deserve to have God come to us. But Christ didn't do that, did he? No. He came to call sinners to repentance. Likewise with Job. Job didn't understand that even though you can do all of these things that God says, yet if you do not give God the glory, and if you are not thankful to God that you're able to do these things. Now you see the choices? See the choices involved? See the decisions that he had to make? So God intervened to help Job come to the knowledge of the truth and for him to understand that through all that he went through, he was only flesh and blood. And though he did all the things that God said, unless you give God the credit and the glory and the honor and realize that everything has come from God, then you become so self-righteous and narcissistic, and that's exactly what Job became. Though he was blameless in the letter of the law. Now, Job 40, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Verse 1, and the Lord answered Job and said, shall he who contends with the Almighty instruct him? Remember where we started in Isaiah 40? He who reproves God, let him answer it. He's correcting God. And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I'm vile. Now he's getting the point. What shall I answer you? I'll lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, but will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said to him, gird up your loins now like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare unto me. Now listen to this. All of those who reject the laws and commandments of God, will you even annul my judgments or my judgment? Everything that God has done. Will you annul that so you can be righteous? Will you condemn me so that you may be righteous? All right, Job, try this on for size. Verse 9. And have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? See what he was doing? He was making himself God. He was worshiping himself. Oh, look at all the good that I do. Yes, indeed, aren't I wonderful? So then God challenges him now. This is almost like, well, Job, if you're really a God, can you do this? Verse 10. Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Cast your rage, the rage of your wrath, cast that abroad, and behold everyone who is proud and abase him. Let's see what you can do, Job. Verse 12. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in darkness. Then, if you can do this, Job, See, it's the if and then again. That interesting how that is throughout the Bible? Yes, indeed. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. In other words, you would be God. Quite a thing, isn't it? Well, what happened to Job after God got done with him over here, chapter 42? Now, what then were the accomplishments of Job, even keeping the laws of God in the letter of the law, compared to the majesty and creativity of God, and the power of God, and the might of God, and the love and kindness of God? Verse 1, and Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no thought can be withheld from you. Interesting. Think on that one for a minute. No thought can be withheld from you. You asked, who is he who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have spoken that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, yea, which I did not know. Not something? Repentance. The repentance was hard to come by. Look what he had to go through. Because he chose to aggrandize himself rather than credit to God. Now then, let's finish it here, the next couple verses. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. You said, I will ask of you, and you will declare to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Mental eye in here. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, all of this because of choices. All of this because of judgment. And so that Job could learn the judgment of God, so he could be humble, repent, and yield to God. So that's all important in judging righteous judgment. Well, we'll continue tomorrow. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.